tools, no nothing.
That's how we'll start it. Nothing. We're just starting with nothing.
I got nothing going. Nothing going on.
Welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 58. Nothing going on. What's going on, guys? How are we doing today? Just nothing.
I just told you nothing.
Another day.
Nothing. Yep. Another day.
You're recovering from your post Labor Day, like early September. September's a slow month, I feel like, for everybody. Like, I've been trying to get bids on some construction work, and like normally I get a bid back in like 2 to 3 days. Either these guys are so busy or they're just not working, because I'm just not getting anything back on these couple bids. It's really weird.
People still wish it was summertime.
I think
so
everybody's
it.
Everybody's dealing with like sending their kids back to school. And are kids back in school like 100% in Boston and all that stuff?
I think so. I know my kids aren't around, so I think they're in school. I hope they're in school. Yeah, they're somewhere. But no, they are. It's funny, in Boston they have a shortage of school bus drivers, so they're using the National Guard.
So the kids feel like they're going to like prison.
yeah. It's funny. It was like a big thing. Like, you know, people like, oh, they're going to send them in tanks and stuff. But they rented like vans.
Yeah.
But they have to become licensed. They got to become licensed school bus drivers. They have like special classes. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like 80 of them or something like that.
Interesting.
So they don't have any bus drivers. Yeah.
I wonder why they don't have any. Yeah. Is there, do you guys, and maybe you know this, and I don't know if it's state by state, but is that like unemployment benefit still going, or is that over now?
I think it just stopped, but I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't know. I know it just stopped, but I don't know why people aren't driving buses. I mean, it's a decent job. I mean, they make decent money.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah, I knew a retired FDNY guy who was a school bus driver for like whatever it paid, you know?
Yeah. I know it's like a decent gig.
I wonder how much they get paid.
They have to have like a special license, so I think it's more than a regular, you know, like a regular driving job. I don't think it's a ton of money, but it's not a ton of work too. You got to remember they're driving, you know, they drive in the morning and in the afternoon, and then if there's, you know, field trips, they hire some of them to do that type stuff, you know. So it's not like a, you know, straight, you know, 8-10 hour day, but yeah, I don't know what the shortage is, why they have the shortage, but I'm going to just say it's COVID, because we can blame everything on COVID nowadays.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Yeah.
Well.
So shortage of school bus drivers.
A shortage of everything.
Due to COVID. Yeah.
Shortage of everything.
The worst is the restaurants.
Yeah.
You go to eat. There's like, you're like, oh, nice, no line. They're like, yeah, hour wait. It's like, huh? There's like, there's nobody here. They're like, yeah, we have nobody to serve you.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
Oh, man. I know.
Have you guys been noticing the lumber prices have been going down, but the steel prices keep going up?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I have not bought any lumber in a long time.
2x4s are back to like their regular price. Like totally like pre-COVID, like $3.50, $4 a 2x4. But
hopefully freaking steel follows.
Steel has been crazy. I follow these plasma CNC groups on Facebook. Guys are paying like, you know, over $2 a pound in some places.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. And like in places where they used to get really good prices, you know, where they were paying 60, 70 cents a pound, you know? What are you paying
it's
these
crazy.
Days, Paul? What's like, what's
I think
like
it's
your
like
average?
It's like $1.50.
That's not bad.
$1.60. I mean, we used to be paying like 50.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
Wow.
Yeah, studs have gone back down to like $3.50 to $4 a stud for like regular, you know, 2x4s.
Yeah.
Plywood's still kind of expensive.
Yeah, it's funny. The place I get my plywood from, they never went up, and they actually were just going up like 3 weeks ago. I was there, and the guy was saying, because they have a huge warehouse there, and he said, you know, we still have old supply from, you know, pre-COVID, so, you know, we just sell for whatever they pay. I mean, I don't understand business how it works, but he said all the new stuff they're getting, it's going to go up. So I'm wondering, like, if he has that supply for like the next 3 months, is that going to be high for 3 months, even though it's going down everywhere else? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I noticed that, like, kind of sanded plywood that I've used for everything, the Radiata plywood that Home Depot sells, which is like they call it cabinet grade, but it's not.
Yeah.
Is
you want to make shitty cabinets.
Yeah, it's shitty cabinet for sure. It used to be like $35 a sheet. Now it's still $60 a sheet. Which kind of sucks. But, you know, luckily I had like three or four sheets stocked away in the shop, like in the rack.
Yeah.
But the steel is really like wild. Can't believe
it. The steel's bad. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm assuming it's going to come down eventually, just like the wood, but.
Yeah. I'm just surprised hasn't.
The steel was a little behind the wood, because I remember the wood shot up like crazy, and then a couple months later, the steel started climbing.
Yep.
And now the wood's going down, and hopefully the steel's going to follow, because it's just way, way too expensive.
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
No.
You know? How do people hold out, you know, and everything goes up then, you know, like, because there's a little bit of, you know, even with, like, steel studs inside residential and commercial, you know, building.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it's such a pain in the ass. But then it's like, you know, maybe it stays up because gas prices are up. I mean, who the hell knows?
Yeah, I just noticed that diesel was down. I just drove by the gas station. Diesel was cheaper than regular fuel.
Yeah.
It was $3.25 and regular was $3.39. I was like, oh, nice. Yeah. I was excited.
I never checked to see what the price.
Diesel.
I go to
diesel,
the same gas
station. You just need to get it. So.
Yeah, I go to the same gas station. Like, unless I'm out of state, if they went to like $8 a gallon,
I wouldn't even know.
They're gonna listen to this and they're gonna be like,
"Oh, next time that guy comes in, just charge him double."
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just am a creature of habit, and I just go to the same place. And
I go to the same gas station on 95 going down to Jersey. Every time I go to Jersey, I always try to go all my way down, and I don't think I've ever looked at the price. Because what are you going to do? Like, I need gas to get to my job. Like, I'm going to put it in the car or diesel.
Yeah. But. We used to have a gas station growing up right across the street. There was, like, a full-service mobile and then, like, a self-serve, like, no-name. And it was, like, 10 cents a gallon cheaper. Mm-hmm. And there would be, like, a line down the street. And I'm like, I don't get that.
Just don't have time to deal with that shit.
Yeah, it's like $25, you know, 25 gallons you put in your car, like, at most. It's like, is it worth it to pump your own and wait in line? And, you know, if it's raining out, and I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm broke. All those people are retired now.
Yeah, right. They took their dollar ninety cents a week that they saved on their gas, and they invested it, and they bought NFTs with it.
Yeah, they're laughing at me. Right. Look at this asshole still busting his ass all these years later. Yeah. But
there is, I mean, it is crazy because there's a gas station. So, like, when you go south from my house, you get to the Long Island Expressway, and there's a gas station there that I think a lot of truckers must go to because it's sort of on their route. And obviously, a lot of truckers don't know the area. It's right on the edge of the expressway, and every item, you know, regular, premium, and diesel, is over a dollar more than any other gas station in the area. So, like, diesel there is probably $4.50 today when my gas station over here was $3.20. But when you're, like, a, you know, a big rig truck driver and you are getting on the expressway and you need to get gas, you're just going to stop there. So, like, you know, but that extra dollar, like, if you got to buy 25 gallons and it's a dollar extra, that's a big difference. If I got to spend an extra 20 bucks.
150 gallons of diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think also, too, you know, most of those truckers are just using a company card. So they're just buying whatever they need to buy. And I think the gas station owners know that. So they're like, fuck them. Yeah. You know, just triple the price. Yeah.
Well, that's what, like, the pizza parlor. They used to put out, like, things where you should get gas because it's cheaper. And it's like, I think guys would purposely not go to that gas station just to be assholes. Yeah. You know? Well,
at the end of the day, doesn't it all come out of the pizza employee's ass? Like, at the end of the day, like, trickle down economics. Like, it does come out of your ass. Every dollar that you spend that your company is losing, you know, maybe not that's the whole dollar, but I would say 5 cents of that dollar is coming out of your ass later on.
The pizzas just go up in price.
But if you get to giggle inside,
yeah, it's true.
It's worth it.
You're paying for that joy.
The other thing that always used to make me laugh, too, is, like, people would always be like, oh, this place, they got the best gas. Like, it's all the same.
Right.
Oh, why, the I will say,
though, they that just, my friend who...
I mean, they add their own additives, But all the gas is the same gas.
Yeah.
They get it from the same refineries. It's not like, you know, this guy's got his own, like, the making it out back or anything, you know?
I've got two stories about that. One, I had a friend in high school who, her mom gave away a car. She had a Cabriolet, you know, like a convertible Cabriolet.
Mm-hmm.
She gave it to her nephew, and we were all, like, sad to see it go. She was, like, one of my friends growing up, mom. And we always, you know, we always would, like, go around. Jesus, Paul. And so one day I'm like, oh, what happened to the convertible? She's like, I gave it to my nephew, and he took it to some shitty gas station in Queens, and then the motor blew. Because, you know, I get, this is, like, in the 2000s. She's like, they were putting water in the gas. They were watering down the gas, and it blew the motor. She's like, and I told him, you got to bring it to a good gas station. And my buddy, who's a mechanic, told me he thought that he lost one of his diesel motors on one. He has a Ram, like a Cummins, because he was going to this gas station, and he said that he needed fuel, and he went to some diesel station, and he said the pump was like filthy, and he said he thinks it was like a dirty pump, and he got bad diesel in it, and it fouled his engine. Because when I got the Sprinter, he was like, dude, be careful when you go to get fuel for this truck, because it's a, you know, it's a clean, modern diesel where it wants, like, clean diesel fuel, not, you know, real shitty, like, filth. So, I mean, I don't know. He's a mechanic, so I have a tendency to believe him over anyone else.
I could imagine that, you know, there's gas stations out there, like, small little gas stations that have that shitty diesel that's been in the bottom of the tank, or maybe it's, like, contaminated, but I can't see them trying to cut fuel with water.
Right?
I don't think that's it. I think her Cabriolet was just on its way out.
Yeah,
well, it's funny.
Yeah, the 250,000 miles on.
Right. Well, when you go up to East Durham and you go to our favorite place, the Milk Run, in the winter, they cut their diesel with kerosene because diesel gels, you know, when it gets real cold. And some vehicles can take that and some vehicles can't. And I remember when I went up there this winter, I remember that their diesel was like pretty cheap, like much cheaper than the other place. And I was like, huh, okay, so I got it. And then after I was done filling my tank, I saw like a piece of loose leaf paper stuck with tape that said our diesel is cut with kerosene. So I'm immediately like panic Googling on my phone, like, am I going to fuck up my Sprinter? Because you can't put biodiesel, because there is like a commercially available biodiesel. You can't run biodiesel in a modern diesel engine without making some changes. So anyway, it's just stupid shit to worry about. Just another thing to worry about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I tell you, this microphone, man, this is the most sensitive microphone. I'm going to go back to the Mr. Microphone. I could hear my chiller in the other room. Could you hear that?
I could hear it when it turned on.
It sounded like,
What, for the laser?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that thing's sensitive.
What have you guys been up to? You guys been making anything? You been lasering anything?
Nope.
You been epoxying anything? What do we got going on?
Nope. I haven't been doing a thing. I'm relaxing.
Nothing? You're just doing nothing? I got a new tool. Well, I don't actually have
it. I got a new tool.
What's that?
Paul got a new tool. That?
You both got new tools?
Sort of.
Kind of.
Tell me the story. What happened?
Well, last Saturday night, I happened to just be browsing Facebook Marketplace at about midnight as I was laying in bed, and lo and behold, I saw a very interesting-looking power hammer, a Beaudry power hammer in Connecticut. So I sent the guy a message, and...
It's funny. You've been saying forever you've needed a power hammer.
I've needed one. I mean, think about the times. I just think about all the times where I've been standing there with like a 50-pound sledgehammer just chipping away at a huge ornamental blacksmith thing. Yeah, thinking if I had a power hammer, things would be so much better. So anyway, I spoke to the gentleman who owned the power hammer on Sunday, and I offered to Venmo him a deposit, which immediately scares everyone over the age of like 40. When you offer to Venmo them a deposit, they're like, oh, this guy's like a Nigerian like prince scam. So I sent him a message. I'm like, dude, I said, I really don't want to lose out on this hammer. I was still trying to figure out if I wanted it. I was like, I was really kind of trying to string him along a little bit, because I wanted to talk to Andrew and I wanted to talk to Chris Cash before I bought it, you know, to find out if it was like worth the money. So I was like, oh, let me send you a deposit. You know, could I send it through Venmo? And he was like, I don't really know about that. I said, listen, dude, just I said, here's my cell phone number. Give me a call. You can talk to me. Like, I'm a real person. I'm not going to scam you. Like, I'm not, you know, I said, and if you don't feel comfortable taking that as a deposit, I'll try to figure out something else. You know, I said, if you have PayPal or something else, I said, I'll figure out a way to get you something. So we wound up talking on the phone. He told me about the hammer. I sent a message to Andrew and to Chris, and they both told me, like, that I, you know, it was a home run. Chris was telling me how it was like a super rare Beaudry, and how it was something that, you know, even if I couldn't figure out a way to use it, it would just be, somebody would want it. So I wound up, I gave him a deposit, and then on Monday morning, he called me and said, hey, listen, you know, do you really, oh, I'm sorry, no, I didn't give him a deposit. I sent him a little bit of money just to make sure his Venmo worked. And then he told me, don't send him a deposit till he went and sent me photos of the hammer, because there was a repair done on the hammer. And I don't know if you noticed it, Paul, but on the RAM guides, there was a weld.
The hole
and there's a
in
plate.
The side?
Yeah, right. The hole cut in the side. So anyway, I wound up talking to the guy. Monday morning comes around. He goes, listen, he goes, if you want this thing, Venmo me a deposit, or if you want to just send me the whole amount. He goes, because I'm getting a ton of messages. I want to close it, you know, and I want to reply to these other people and tell them fair and square whether it's gone or not. And as soon as he sent me that, I just Venmo'd him the whole amount and was like, fuck it, I'm getting it. So he seemed nice enough. He said he wasn't in a hurry for it to get picked up, which made me feel better because I actually couldn't get it. Our good friend Paul Pinto had to go pick it up. But the guy had a forklift, and Paul has a forklift, so... Now Paul's in possession of my 75-pound or 50-pound Beaudry. That's why I need you to take pictures of it, Paul, because based on the number on the casting, it should be a 50-pound. But Kevin Willie was telling me that there might be a 75-pound ram on it, because that's a common thing in those hammers, that they were, like, mismatched. So... Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you met Kevin Willie when we were at that black that hammering thing. So Kevin and I actually spoke on the phone for like a half an hour, and you can tell that this guy is like the power hammer guy, because he's like, send me a picture of that hammer. So I sent him a picture. He's like, I've seen that hammer before. He goes, about 20 years ago, I was in Rhode Island, and I saw that hammer, and I remember it because it's got the hole cut in the side, and I can remember the way that the arm was. And I'm like, this dude just like all he does is, I guess, you know, deal in power hammers, and he charges himself out as a service to repair them. So he gave me a bunch of good info and, you know, helped me kind of validate the money I spent on it. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was a good deal. How's it look in person, Paul? Is it does it make you want to go back into the blacksmithing business? Oh, we lost Paul.
Ah, I liked Paul.
Nope, he's gone.
That's too bad.
He heard me talking about the power hammer, and he just went and listed it on Marketplace. He's going to try.
I was just going to say, maybe he's in his garage using the power hammer right now.
God.
He got so excited.
Imagine that poor garage with the power hammer in it. The press was hard enough on that garage. I think the press cracked the slab in Paul's parents' garage.
It did something to
it. What would have been really funny is if Paul wound up buying a power hammer at the shop that had the giant hole under the floor.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine?
It went through the floor.
Like the first time the ram spins over and hits the anvil, the whole thing just goes into the earth like 3 feet.
Yeah. Oh, are you, can you use that like in your shop, or do you have to have like a special like foundation for it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I always see people pouring these big things. Like, is that like, I mean, I'm sure you need something, but like, do we know like how thick you really need it to be, or?
On that size hammer, because it's only a 50 or 75 pound ram. Hey, Paul,
I'm back.
There you go. On that size hammer, since it's only a 75 or 50 pound ram, and because it's got that wooden block base, I don't think I need to put any concrete under it. Plus, in sections, my floor is like over 2 feet thick.
This?
So, remember when I was putting in that ground rod?
Oh, you're right.
You know how to
drill
36 inches? So, I mean, we'll see. When I get it and I actually know where it's going, I'm going to drill some test holes. But I don't know, dude, for the frequency I'm using it,
yeah,
I can't imagine that.
It won't be turned on for another 2 years.
No.
So,
but
because the tower is not going to get built to hold the motor.
Well, he gave it to you with some sort of motor apparatus, right?
Well, no, that's just to run a belt. You still need to build a whole mechanism to hold whatever's going to turn that belt. you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I have some leftover material from a couple jobs that I was already kind of thinking like that would be perfect to build a tower, like real heavy duty. I found a motor in New Jersey, a 4 horsepower, 900 RPM, 3-phase motor in New Jersey for like $400, brand new. So I think that one will be like perfect. Chris Cash was saying that I might want a faster motor because sometimes those slow motors can make the hammers a little sluggish. But I think before I go out and buy a motor, I'll probably like try to rig something up in the shop just like to see how it runs under like, you know, 1,100 RPMs or 1,700 RPMs or something. So Kevin Willie told me that that motor was meant to run at 350 RPM. So.
Huh.
Anyway, how's it look in person, though, I was saying before you...
It's nice.
Before you dropped off. How it's tall really is nice. It? I can't tell.
Maybe 6 feet tall without the thing on the top, and then that... Wait. Well, it's up on the wood, so maybe while it's on the wood, it's probably, like, close to 6 feet tall, and then you have to put that whole thing on the top, so it's probably, like, 7.5 feet tall when you put that other flywheel up on the top.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because in the photos, there's no, like, scale. Like, it could be 10 feet tall, it could be 4 feet tall, but the way I kept thinking was he had it in a shipping container, and he told me he didn't have it on its side. So I was like, well, a shipping container is not, like, hugely high inside.
Yeah, it's like
so it can't
feet
be,
tall
like,
or something, or 9 feet.
Yeah, and I figured, like, if it's, like, you know, if it's so tall, it would be so hard to get in and out of a container. So I was like, it can't be that tall, but anyway. So that's my tool of the week, a power hammer.
Wow.
Very exciting.
That's a tough one to beat. I mean, the closest I can come to that is I was rummaging through my shop, and I pulled out this old woodpecker one-time tool.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I spent a little while trying to figure out what it was. It says, woodpecker's odd job. And, oh, it's got a little level in here as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
The odd job.
Do you guys have one of these? Did they send you one of these?
No. Was that from Spring Make? Did you get that handed to you?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. This was handed to me. That's right. He was demoing this. Yep. The kid John was so nice and gave me this. But, yeah, it's obviously it's never been used because there's no epoxy on it. Oh, this stuff is so well
Everything
made.
In your shop has epoxy on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Every single
like just
item.
It's not like dripping in epoxy, but at least it's got epoxy fingerprints.
Yeah.
That's just how I tell what it
That's
is.
That's like my sander, because I've been doing a bunch of epoxy and varnish shit. Now my Mirka sander has like a palm print of like just epoxy all over it.
Yeah.
Chris, walk us through, because I know the people enjoy this, and you enjoy it, because this is your shtick. How you're transporting and how you're going to move this thing using... No machines.
I bet it'll be very safe.
In the stupidest, most dangerous way possible, explain to the viewers how you're going to do this.
How I'm going to move my power hammer?
In the most inconvenient way, stressful, dangerous. Tell us how you're going to do it.
Well, so there's a couple. I got a couple of options. First option is I do no preparation whatsoever.
Yeah.
And as right after I get back from my traveling, which will be after the wedding, I drive up there with my truck, no trailer. I spend a half a day taking it apart in your shop.
Oh,
and then
God.
We put it in my truck on its side.
Chris thinks because he's going to take the anvil off, it's magically going to weigh half as much.
Engine crane.
So,
engine crane. Grab it sideways.
Grab it
sideways. Back it into the truck.
Put it in the truck. Well, no, Pinto can put it in the truck with the fork.
I could put it in
the shop.
Yeah.
And then in the van. And then I get home. And then I pick up the ass of it with the engine crane while someone inside holds up the
back
head.
One.
And then we
no, no one's holding that
underneath
up
underneath it. Well, I'm thinking I'm taking
maybe,
the flywheel off.
Maybe
like I'm
Dwayne the Rock Johnson could hold it up, but Macklin's not lifting that.
So
just
I,
letting
I
you
saw
know.
Photos. I saw photos of a guy. So the only other this is interesting. The only other one of those power hammers that's a Beaudry Peerless. So the Beaudrys that we've seen. Is a Beaudry Champion. That's the one that like everybody has, where the head is off to the side and the flywheel runs parallel with the ram. The Beaudry Peerless. There are only two known Beaudry Peerlesses left in existence, according to Kevin. No, I'm sorry, three.
Wow.
Three. One of them was in one of them was in there. Were all made in Boston, so Derek can feel special. Thank you. They were all made in Boston. Mm-hmm. One of them went from Boston to France, and then from France to England, and then from England to Montana to the guy Alan Lake at the Moccasin Mountain Hammer Power Hammers. So that's the one of them. That's a 100-pounder. That one there are photos of on the internet, and that guy must have not been able to transport his either, because he took his completely apart. Like, took the ram off, took the anvil off, took the flywheel off, and moved it on its side on a trailer, which looked like it was being towed by a minivan. So that's a bigger version of what I got. Then there's the one that I just bought. And then Kevin seems to think that there's a third one somewhere in Vermont, but he doesn't know where, and he doesn't know if the one he's thinking of might be the one that I have. Mm. So there may only be two of these known to still exist.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty cool. I think that's like a pretty unique thing. It's going to, you know, probably lead to some sort of issue because something will break and I'll be screwed.
Yeah, you need this one little pot.
But Kevin goes, I probably got parts for that hammer laying in a bin somewhere. He goes, and nobody else is going to need them, so I'll let you know. He's such a nice guy. He was like, you know, spent a lot of time with me on the phone. So anyway, so my options are disassemble it, put it in the truck, bring it home, and then just figure it out when I get home. Because my truck can handle its weight, and I can weigh it as we put it in the truck at Pinto's shop, so I'll know like the anvil weighs 400 pounds, the frame weighs 1500 pounds, the whatever. That's one option. The second option is, and this is the one I'm leaning towards, is I still take the anvil off to take some weight off of the item itself, put the anvil in my truck, and then put the hammer on a trailer that I rent. Drive to Paul's with a trailer, like a roadworthy trailer, not my like bullshit, you know, like
homemade job
trailers. Like, I'll rent a 3,500-pound trailer from Home Depot for $42 for the day. I'll drive to Paul's, we'll put it on the trailer, and then when I get home, I still have a gantry crane at Matt Harris's shop in Maryland that I bought that I need to go and get. So my thought is I get the gantry crane, I bring it to my shop, I rent a trailer, I go to Paul's shop, I get home, I get the thing off of the trailer into my driveway, and then that's that. That's option two. Option three, it still involves the trailer.
Are any of these options going to be a smart option?
No, none of them will be smart, and all of them have the potential for like a Will Stelter moment where I knock that son of a bitch over and it just breaks in half. And I break literally the only 75-pound Beaudry Peerless that exists on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just talked to a guy today about a perfectly capable forklift, which would do exactly what I need to do and get that thing out of my truck and into the shop with no problem at all. And conveniently is exactly the same cost as the power hammer cost. So what did I need more for $3,000? Did I need a power hammer or did I need a forklift?
Shit.
You're nuts.
I don't know.
So your gantry crane's at Matt Harris's shop?
Yes, my gantry crane's at Matt Harris's shop.
When you're going down there?
I'm not. I can't be that upset because I'll be out on my honeymoon. But Matt's actually having a open house October 22nd,
23rd.
I'll be on my honeymoon, so I won't be able to go. Yeah, we're going because my birthday is
the 22nd. Is that when Maker Camp is?
No, Maker Camp is Columbus Day weekend, October 8th, 9th, and 10th. Yeah, so Matt Harris has and it's actually the same gantry crane that you have, Paul, the one with the adjustable height and the pins.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought that from him last October.
Yeah, he's told me about the open house. He's like, why don't you come down? Yeah. That's who I I got a new tool. I got my water separator.
Oh, yeah.
That's who recommended that. We've been talking back and forth, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, come on down. And I was like, oh, I think I got something. I thought it was the same weekend as Make a Camp.
Yeah, no, it's luckily it's not that weekend.
Pinto, we should do a road trip.
You guys should go. His shop looks amazing. There. I'm sure it'll be really
Chris
fun.
Chris Cash.
Yeah, I really want to I really want to go down there, but it's funny.
Dude, call off the honeymoon.
Yeah, he's only like an hour and a half further away from my house from that my building is. So my plan is, my plan has been many times to drive down, like on one of those trips to New Jersey and just get that gantry crane. And he's offered to meet me halfway like multiple times.
Oh
and
my I
just
God,
feel
wow.
I feel so bad making him like take that thing apart and load it.
If you want to do a road trip sometime, I'll go down there.
Yeah,
because I want to meet him. He's been super.
If you guys don't wind up going down for the, if you guys don't wind up going down for the for his open house, maybe we could just plan a trip on a weekend and we'll just all go down together.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
So, because I've really wanted to see his shop and check out everything he's doing down there, because it just he does such cool work,
dude. He does. Oh my God, it's unbelievable the shit he does, and it's like it's so funny that wedding I was at this weekend. Everything was all wrought iron, like the front doors to the mansion were just like these huge wrought iron, you know, like gates with like plate glass in them. They were like, it felt like the door was locked. You had to like just lean into
it. I love that.
It was like opening up a vault, the bank vault. It was unbelievable. Yeah. It's just, everything was just so massive and just beautiful. And oh man. But yeah, I'd love to go down and see his shop.
Yeah, one day for sure. It's in Perryville, Maryland, if you ever want to look it up. It's like right, on that like border between New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. It's right over the border, and Chris has told me all about his shop and just said how like it's such a cool place, and you know he seems like a great guy. Yeah, it's I just looked at it on the map. It's not that far.
It's not far past Philly.
No, I think from Philly it's probably not even an hour.
Yeah, oh that's not bad, right?
Yeah, it is an hour from Philly. And Philly's like I said, like. Philly's probably 20 minutes from my building. So for me, it's an extra like 3 hours to go there and back to my building. But if I'm already going down to New Jersey anyway, it kind of like makes sense to kind of do a 2-in-1. But anyway, so that's how I'm going to get the thing out. I'm going to figure it out. I mean, I thought
I know you will.
And like the iron worker was the thing about the iron worker is it's smaller, but it was so heavy, and getting it in and out of my truck was definitely like a task. So I feel like this thing, you know, like I said, according to Kevin Willey's book, because he has a Beaudry, you know, like sales manual, that thing weighs 2,000 pounds. So that's why I was thinking if I take – I don't love the idea of putting that much weight on a trailer. So that's why I think I'll take the anvil off regardless, just because
why?
I just feel like it'll – I don't know. I just like don't – I hate trailering shit, and I just don't trust the trailer. I don't know.
Well, that's because you gotta get like a solid trailer.
I know. I've never
like the one you should get. The one you should get is if you were driving up past my shop, which would be hard for you to like figure out a place to return it. But it is one of those hydraulic ones that drop right down level with the ground. That would be your safest bet.
I know.
It's just as you're driving through Bridgeport, just pick one of those up because they always have them. It holds 10,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you drop it right down. Like, it's you don't want, like, a tilt trailer. You don't want any other type of trailer. Like, you know.
No, the only reason I could do it with a utility trailer is if I have the gantry crane, you know.
Yeah.
Because then I can just pick it out and pull the trailer out from underneath it. I mean, when I bought my big jet milling machine, which weighed also over 2,000 pounds and is probably taller than that power hammer, I brought that home on my tilt trailer, that sketchy steep one.
That's crazy. And that little yellow one?
We tilted it. Yeah, we tilted it off
insane
that trailer.
That you did that. Holy shit. It tilts like at a 45-degree angle.
If I remember correctly, I think what I did was I minimized the tilt with like blocks, and I put a wooden ramp so that it was less steep. And then we used we used my chain fall, not even the electric one, to slowly lower it down on a pallet jack. That was sketchy, but we got that thing has a 50-inch table, and we got it into my shop. Oh my God!
Wow.
When I think about this shit, I feel like sick.
I'm just worried you're gonna get hurt one of these days, or someone will.
Yeah, but it'd be a good, great story.
Dude, look at my flood video. People love the flood video.
I know they love it, but what did I say? Worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze?
That's why last night I texted him last night. I said, you need to move.
Well, yeah.
You know what it is? That's it. You know what it is? If I, the way I look at it is if I have to experience that, I might as well make a little bit of money on it.
Well, yeah.
I might as well get a little return.
Monetize it.
Yeah, exactly. I did lose one subscriber, though.
Why?
Someone watched this video and then unsubscribed.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of effort.
What, the flooding?
No, just unsubscribing to somebody.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I've had a lot of that going on lately.
Really?
Instagram clean. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I offend people or what. I always want to reach out to them and say, hey, did I say, what triggered
this? There's nothing you could have said.
Is it me? I feel like I'm back in high school, dating. Is it? Can I beg you for us to stay together? Just one more weekend? Don't tell my friends. I feel like I'm back in fucking high school. And it's like, it's funny. Me and Keith Johnson, we were talking. And he's like, I had 81 people unfollow me today. And I'm like, yeah, but you get a lot of people that follow you. Like, that's not a lot percentage-wise. But it's just so funny. But I tell you, after we talked about it a little bit in the before show there, and some people heard that. But I think from now on, any giveaway I do online – is going to be Patreon only.
Yeah.
I just think I'm just so sick and tired of the bullshit when I go out of my way and I give away something that I don't even need to give away. Like, a company doesn't tell me, hey, you need to give this. Actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to lie, because I was going to say I got something else I got to give away. But it's like, people are such assholes. And it's like, I go out of my way, give something away that I didn't need to give away, pay to have it shipped. And I get an attitude from somebody. It's like it's not worth it anymore. So those are the people
I can't do anything nice for anybody.
No,
you can't.
No good deed goes unpunished.
That's right.
I know. I know. So
I hate doing giveaways. I hate it. And I want to give more stuff away. Like, I would love.
I do too.
I would love to give more stuff away.
Dude, the kid's like, oh, you didn't list all the rules down. It's like, I didn't know I had to fucking draft a contract, dude. I'm trying to give away a fucking tool bag. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not like, it's not like we're entering into this contract where I'm selling you my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Know. It's like, give me a break.
And then you get all these people that are like, well, technically, you really can't do a giveaway because, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's just like I get a tool bag that I don't want to see sit on my shelf and get dusty. I just figured somebody could use it, and just.
It's so funny because I did that Viking hood giveaway with Lincoln, and they ran it through their, giveaway, thing.
Yeah.
And when I was talking to our friend at Lincoln, she was telling me, she was like, oh, we have to, when we do it, we have to, put out the rules and we have to make it continental U.S. only.
Yeah, that's different.
And then, then she was like, okay, and then we have to, the day it ended, she texted me and was like, hey, you got to announce the winners today because in the rules, we said the day we were going to announce the winners and we have to announce them that day. And because it was through a huge corporation that could get sued and whatever, but we had to do it, by the book. And I remember being like, Jesus, this makes it not even feel worth it. So I'm I know they're going to be sponsoring some stuff at the maker camp on Columbus Day weekend. So I was going to do a giveaway for some gloves because they just sent me some new gloves. And then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not doing it on Instagram. I'll do it at the makers camp. I'm going to ask them to send me a couple extra pairs of gloves and I'll give them to people at that.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather do that. I don't need somebody to repost and follow and tag and all this bullshit. It doesn't do anything for you anyway.
No, it doesn't. And it's like, the people on Patreon, it's like those people have been here. Those people are, faithful to me. Those people, I do, a little giveaway on Patreon, after 3 months of being a patron. And if you want to get on that, you can join Patreon and support
Patreon.com/Derek from Malden.
No, but they get tattooed on my arm. No, but it's 90% of them don't send me it. And I send it to them just because I feel they deserve it. But it's that's nice. It's no bullshit. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm just sick of it, But I think, did I mention I did get a new tool, kind of. Did I mention my barbecue guru cooking?
You did. We talked about Tim.
Did I mention that?
How did it go? Well, you hadn't used it yet, I don't think.
Dude, I did use it, and the thing was amazing. It was
really?
not 1 degree did that thing go off.
That's crazy.
And I roasted a chicken. It was unbelievable.
How did the chicken feel about it?
Dude, chicken was pissed. But it's but no, it was unbelievable. But then honestly, I screwed up after that. So now I was like the big cooking guy. So of course I gotta cook stuff the next night. I roast some vegetables and I roasted some turkey tips. They tasted like shit. And I think what happened was I put like new charcoal on top of the old, and I didn't let it like cook long enough to get like that new charcoal taste out of it. So everything tasted like real acidic. But Christina was pissed. We had to get takeout. It wasn't a good scene. But cause it was late at night and everything. I think she just ate a yogi for dinner or something. Yeah. She didn't get takeout because it was too late. But no, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It keeps it like right on the exact temperature. It's just unbelievable. It's funny, Paul. Know what it reminds me of? It's just like the fish tank controllers.
Oh yeah,
that's exactly what it's like. It's just a temperature probe. Yeah, yep. It's just a temperature probe, and I'm sure an Arduino. That's what you guys call them, right? And it just basically turns a fan on and off. But the funny part is, I was talking to this guy that's really big into grilling. He's a local guy. He makes knife handles, Ben, and Ben's Bites, I think it is, on Instagram. You can check it out. He makes beautiful handles. But he was like, oh, you could just control the temperature by, you know, doing the top thing. And I'm like, I can never control it that way. So I started, like, doing some YouTube videos, watching those. I didn't realize, like, you're not supposed to do the top and the bottom. You're supposed to do one or the other. And I messed with it one night,
I could never get it to control.
Dude,
yeah, Chris.
Well, I'm always like, oh, you gotta let air in, and you gotta do this.
Seven times by the time I even get the heat.
Yeah,
right.
Dude, nope. I know. Well, no, it's crazy. It's like if you open up the top thing too much, it just lets the heat out, so it doesn't ever get really hot. So it's like, you know, you only really need to adjust one or the other. So I was like, well, the barbecue thing's still
fun. Do you big green egg, Paul? I forget if you big
green
egg. No, I need to get one. He's waiting for me to get rid of mine. He's going to take that.
I'll get one eventually.
Yeah, they are nice. I mean, it's nice. I do enjoy it. I don't use it nearly enough, but
well, it's a lot of work too. It's not like turning on propane and cooking a burger.
But it's pretty easy though. It's
not terrible.
It's the way. No, the 15 minutes you can have it ready to cook. You can just light it
on its way to my house.
Yeah, no, DoorDash. I know, but I'm saying, but it's not as bad. Like, cause that's how I used to be. But I got one of those chimney things. There's people on, like, people are into it. Dude, I was watching this video the other night. This guy has a big green egg, and he puts a 3-foot smokestack on his.
Does he open it?
And it creates a vacuum. Dude, he gets it up to 700 degrees in 4 minutes. Jesus, he times it.
That's
shows
crazy.
It. Yeah. Shows it real time. No, 5 minutes, I think it was.
I think most forges don't get up to 700 degrees.
Yeah, it's just crazy, but the way the size of the chimney, like, it's perfectly sized for the green egg, and he has a disclaimer. He's like, this is unsafe. Do not do this, like, if you don't.
Get some probably cracked.
Like, probably
cracked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, mine, I thought mine was out, and it was real hot, and I opened it up, and I closed it, and all of a sudden, the cover started opening up, and it's going, like, like sucking air.
Like it was going to split open.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I fucking ran up the stairs. I thought it was going to blow up or something. But it's just amazing.
Derek
that's a heavy top.
Prominent Instagrammer dead from Big Green Egg incident.
Yeah, swallowed. He and Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall.
Oh, my God.
The green egg in Derek's head cracked wide open.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's great. What do you guys have coming up next?
I might be, well, it's down the road. I probably shouldn't announce it. I got a collab going with two very prominent Instagram people that I really shouldn't, I can't mention, but it'll be, that's down the road. But, no, I don't really have anything going on. I'm laying low. I, you know, I have still having some reoccurring back issues, so I got to take it easy. I talked to the doctor, and he said, you know what, stop pushing yourself so hard. Yeah. Relax. Do physical therapy and shut up. So that's what I'm going to do for a little while, and we'll see what happens. Nice. So that's what I got going on. But what about you guys?
Usual stuff.
Well, yeah, I'm planning my next big project. I've been procuring parts for a very fun, not totally like just build that I want to do. I don't want to expose what it is yet. It involves a tractor tire. So I've been planning for that. I'm doing a lot of research, and it's got me excited. I haven't been excited about like a project like that in a while.
Oh, you're making a big swing?
Yeah, exactly. I'm making a making a big tire swing. It's just going to have three chains. Dude.
That's nice. The world's biggest tire swing. It.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got the tire from Whistling Diesel.
Yeah, dude. Fucking good.
The best video of all time.
With the tractor.
It's the funniest part. He's like, these auctions are so easy. You find what somebody bid, and you just pay more.
That's how you win.
You will win every time. Every time you will win.
He really is good.
I just think it's so crazy he still has to keep justifying himself.
Well, now he had a bunch of old farmers on Facebook that, like, were upset with him.
Yeah.
Because he's destroying.
Yeah, I get it. But
he paid for it fair and square.
I know.
That's like when people get pissed off that my SawStop looks like shit. Because it's got coffee stains and stain and rust. And it's mine.
Yeah.
If I want to drip that thing and push it into the river, I can. You know? Yeah.
That's how I feel. If they cared that much about the tractor, it is, you know, if it was the last one or something like that, but, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, somebody else could have bought it and, you know, they could have saved it or whatever, but, you know, it's his to do what he wants. Maybe one day he'll look at it and while he's counting his money and say, man, that was stupid, but
I don't think so.
When he was taking that thing off the trailer.
Oh my god.
And he's like, I don't know, the transmission feels funny. Then it comes into camera, he's not on it. But it didn't even do that much damage to the house.
When the trailer slides backwards.
Oh my god.
I think he was shitting his pants.
Yeah, he didn't think that was going to happen.
He was really shitting his pants. Yeah, no. That is scary how that happens, though, huh? The weight of it just pulls it down the hill.
Well, as soon as the tire breaks loose, it has less friction than when it's standing still.
Yeah,
I remember it from physics class.
If that didn't hit that tree.
If it didn't hit the tree.
He would have kept going.
If it didn't hit the tree, that thing, oh my god, it would have went.
He would have had to jump out of the car. I mean, he could have, honestly, like, no bullshit, like, it's amazing that he hasn't gotten, had a spinal. Yeah,
he got shrapnel in his face from shooting a .50 caliber gun from 4 feet away.
Yes, but that's pretty easy to predict.
What did he
do? But just the fact that he hasn't, he took the video down, but the fact that he hasn't hurt his neck, like, driving through the world, like, his cameraman,
that's true.
You know, and, like, you ever see the clip where they're driving in the toolbox in the back and the big-ass wrench goes out and falls through the moonroof? Like a big, like, crescent wrench. They're driving like remember they did that Honda pickup truck?
With
the
Honda
And they put it inside the cinder blocks. At one point, he's driving it through his woods and he's, you know, bouncing it up and shit's rattling everywhere. A wrench, like, flies out of the back of the truck through the moonroof and lands in the cab. Like, just like the...
Dude, how about when he's pulling it in with the tractor on the trailer, and he's doing, like, 60 miles down the country
It's so funny.
It's just amazing that thing didn't break off. Then he rips the bed through the window.
I love that.
Oh, my God. That was so crazy.
I can't wait to get back to my house upstate.
Yeah, I know. That's all I kept thinking. Oh, man. I was like, he would have that thing down.
Yeah, why haven't you just knocked it down, Chris?
It's just
why can't we just go, like, knock it down?
We could, but, like, that's going to get old real fast.
But you should just be like, I watch Whistling Diesel, and I just feel like I got
to Well, that's how I plan to remove the refrigerator. I'm putting a chain through the wall, and I'm just going to rip the refrigerator out through the wall next time I'm there. Just through the framing. And no window, just through the framing and everything. Just right out the side of the building with a chain. I can't wait.
It's so funny when he's got the excavator guy trying to get him. He's like, no, you got to pick it up and swing it. The guy's like,
I think what I'm gonna do is put the chain on the bucket of the skid steer and then pivot the skid steer so I can get the fastest like jerking motion that I can and just rip it out. Oh my god.
So crazy. Yeah, that's what you do when you get a farm and you're bored. I mean, snowmobiles and, you know, jet skis and, you know, dirt bikes only take you so far.
I know.
You know, you got to do something else, you know.
So funny. It was such a good video. God bless Whistling Diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope I get to cross paths with him one day. We'll see.
Yeah.
I would just like to, I'd love to just make something that he thinks up, you know?
Yeah.
Just to like have because that's kind of what happened with like the van ramp, right? Like Anthony was like, I have the money, I have the vision, just build it, you know? And it was like one of the most fun projects because it was like, you know, and it's not even so much about making money on the project. I barely made any money on that project. It's just a matter of having somebody that has the more of the space and the ability and the desire to have something done that's really outrageous and then do it. Like, that's what I want to do, you know? So, it's pretty funny, though. I thought it was great.
Yeah, he's definitely enjoying himself, that's for sure.
God bless him. He should. I mean, you know, he's doing that, and then you have these other jackasses that just, like, go around to, like, Walmart and, like, knock shelves over and, like, do pranks.
Yeah.
Like, I'd much rather watch him swing a brush hog. That was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
The brush hog swinging and banging it into the side of the building.
Oh, God. Goes right through the building.
I love it.
Just amazing.
I love it. I should send him a message and go, hey, I don't have a truck that you can destroy, but I've got a house you can destroy.
Yeah, just come out here.
Yeah, just come out. He could just drive that trailer. Imagine the velocity that he would go up my driveway with.
He'd probably come down the hill.
Oh, my God.
Go through that other person's yard.
I think you should just rent an excavator.
Right through the nursery. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Once I get it scheduled to knock the house down, I think, like, once I know it's going down, we'll have some fun with the
You don't want to have
But I don't want to have it, like, so fucked up.
Destroyed house.
Yeah, for a while. Because then, like, it's going to snow and rain and, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I know those, like, the kids haven't been up there in a while, but, like, God forbid they decided, like, that was the time to go fuck around in it, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Then it gives the kids the right to, like, act up in it and be like, oh, you know, you don't give a shit about it, so I can't.
You're not thinking like Whistling Diesel, you know, guys.
No. But I don't live in Tennessee where, like, there's no one around for, you
Where does he live? Indiana?
No, his new place is in Tennessee.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh.
Where did he live?
I think Indiana.
Out, like, out west somewhere?
He lived in Indiana. Now he's in Tennessee.
Oh, okay. I thought he was
Dude, you live
like,
basically
North
in the
Dakota
Tennessee of New York.
It's true.
I mean, what more? It's the same shit.
What are you talking about?
That's like you live in Seacliff. Like, the house is in Seacliff.
I know, right? Oh, my God. Yeah, Whistling Diesel. But that's what I have coming up next. I have a fun project, so I think it's gonna be really good. Yeah, and I'm getting married in 2 days.
I was gonna say
you are.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yep. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe next time you guys will be invited.
Is it open? Like, can your fans?
It's
come
an open invitation. It is. It's in Shelton, Connecticut. If you just look up Fairfield Steelworks, the wedding's at there. It's Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Everyone's invited if you want to come. Pepe's Pizza is going to cater. Bring gifts.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, bring gifts.
Lots of gifts. Bring me a gift.
Bring gifts.
Just in case
bring
I
Derek
show
from Malden a gift. No, it's
you.
It's
be good. Are you raffling off any tickets or anything
to
like
my
that?
Wedding?
Yeah.
I know, I probably should have. I honestly
you could have giveaway
auctioned off a
Dude,
ticket.
You could have made some. I know you could have made.
I should
some
have
money,
auctioned
dude.
Off a ticket to my wedding. I have a feeling I know like the cast of characters that would have been.
Exactly. I
was
going to
say I know who would have won.
Yeah, I know who. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely know who would have won.
But so that's all happening. So you should join our Patreon to help pay for. My help pay off the debt of my wedding at patreon.com/handmadepodcast.
Forget that. Join my Patreon.
Yeah. Join both.
No weddings,
join Derek
yeah.
so that he can transfer some of that money into my account after I get married.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
I would love, like, to get a check that, like, you write me a check, but it's actually a Patreon check written to you that you endorsed over to me. Like, it's crossed out. Like, when, like, you re-give, yeah. like an American Express gift card.
Yeah.
That's, like, from, yep. like, AMC yep. or something. Like, you want a raffle.
I remember going to a birthday party when I was a little kid, and this kid goes, he brought a Van Halen poster to the party. And my friend opens it up, and all the corners were cut off.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, what's up with this? He's like, yeah, me and my brother got in a fight, so he took this poster I was giving you, and he cut all the corners off it. My buddy goes, it looks like it was taped to your wall, yeah. and you took it off the wall. And the kid, like, got all bummed out, and he was upset. And I was like, I always felt bad for the kid because I was like, he cared enough that he wanted to give him a gift. Yeah, that means a lot. You know what I mean? And my other buddy was like a douchebag about it and broke his balls.
That's better than going to the store and buying one.
Yeah.
Like you gave it.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
That's like the shirt off your back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that is the reason why I am not friends with either one of them today.
Fuck
for both. For doing that. For one, for being so fucking cheap, and the other one for being a dickhead mm-hmm. when the other one was cheap. So they both had to get excommunicated.
They unfollowed you on Instagram.
They were just
too.
Childhood friends.
They both unfollowed you on Instagram. So other than Whistling Diesel, probably. What have you guys been watching? Anything good?
I know I've watched something good.
No, not really.
Nothing?
The internet. Actually, I don't want to tell you who I watch because it'd become a whole conversation. And I don't really regularly watch this guy. Yeah. But I watch. You ever watch Wheezy Waiter?
No.
I don't even have the slightest idea what that is.
Dude, I don't know how it got recommended to me, but he does some funny videos once in a while. But he gives his little shtick on bidets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Recommends bidets, so.
You guys ready to go back to Atlanta and have another conversation about bidets?
That was funny.
About bidets, yeah. So that's what, that's what I was going to recommend was him and his bidets.
I have a guy that I want to give a plug to. This kid I found. So when I was looking up that power hammer, I was looking up Beaudry hammers on YouTube, and I found this kid, Drew Leninger. He has 1,000 subscribers, and he's making a miniature Beaudry power hammer like this big, and he hasn't uploaded he has three parts. He hasn't uploaded any updates in like since October of last year, but. Like, he's got, like, basic tools, and he's making, like, trying to make a functional, like, mini Beaudry. And I was, like, so impressed by the video. Like, he's, you know, he's got, like, you know, kind of, like, real hobbyist stuff. It's not like he's, like, doing this with some precision shit. And I left him a comment and said, hey, finish it up. I want to see it done. You know? So check out Drew Leninger's mini Beaudry power hammer, and maybe he'll finish it.
Know who I'm going to recommend? This guy. His name's Michael Mezalik. Mezalick.
That sounds familiar.
He's got like 2,000 subscribers.
Oh, maybe not.
And each of his videos gets like 200 views.
Spell the last name
again?
And
he does Mezalick. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he does these videos on using Vetric.
Okay.
And they get like 200 views, right? They are so unbelievably done, like, so, like, you know, so much information on them, right? The projects are unbelievable. Nobody watches them. I can't believe how many of them he has. Seriously. In his voice, it almost sounds like, you ever watch that guy, Brian, what's it, Altridge, or whatever his name is? I know you've watched this guy, this other guy, his name's, his voice sounds just like him. It's like, what is his name? Ultra, what's this guy's name? Hold on, this name right here,
Brian Altrog, sure.
Altrog, yeah. His voice sounds just like his voice. It's like monotone. Mm-hmm. It's so strange, but his videos are unbelievable. If anybody does CNC work, 3D carve, any of that stuff, watch that. Good shit, and it's just funny. Like he does, it got recommended, and I'm like. I don't know. He doesn't have many subscribers, and he doesn't have many views for his videos. And out of those 250 views, 10 of them are probably mine because I've watched a couple of them a couple times, just like picking up bits and pieces. But like real informative. Like he'll take an actual picture of something. One he does, it's like a not a medal, like a star, a military pin, yeah, or something. Yeah, and he'll like show you this is how you make it. If it's not like, if you can't copy the vectors, like you outline it, you smooth it out, you do this, you do that. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I still can't do it, but it's really, it's good shit. So if anybody's into CNC stuff, if you want to learn a little something, there you go. Free tip.
Free tip.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Paul, still nothing?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I haven't been watching many things lately.
That's what he's going with.
I'll give one more.
Honesty's the best policy. I'm just glad he's honest about it.
Just to shout out our friend Leah Arapach. You can go watch that new Netflix show.
Dude, I can't believe that.
Metal Shop Masters.
I was just looking through her shit. Yeah
Metal Shop Masters on Netflix. Leah Arapach is on there. Go watch it. Make your own decision about whether or not you like the show. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I started watching. It was a little rough. You know, and it's not the show's fault. It's the guy, like, that's, like, doing
Joe
it.
Joe Coy.
He's so excited about those Spocks.
I couldn't deal with him. What's he? So, Paul, you knew who that was right away. Is he a famous comedian? I've seen him on other podcasts.
He's a pretty famous comedian. I think he's a comedian, and I think he is, like, huge. Like, he sells out, like, arenas or, like, big theaters and shit.
But when he was excited to find out that Spocks were, like, little hot pieces of metal...
Yeah, he doesn't have a clue. He's so not the person that should be... Like, he's pretty funny, actually. Like, I've heard it before. He's a funny guy, but, like...
Yeah.
He knows absolutely nothing about any of that stuff. Like, couldn't be further away from, you know...
I just think that, like, I think that my tolerance... for that is probably higher than most people's, like, especially the people that I think would be interested in that show. And I think that, like, most people will get 20 minutes of his commentary and just be like, I can't fucking stand this guy. I'd rather just I thought so. I mean, listen, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I just think it's almost insulting to the people on the show that he knows so little.
But you got to remember, and this is one thing I learned when we did our show. Did I mention I was going to be on a show? But anyways, like, you're not the audience that you're not their target audience. You know what I mean? So if 100 million people watch it, maybe a million know what the fuck's going on. So the other 99 million might think it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because believe me, when we do our show, and when I tell you, every time I see a show like that, I say to myself, you know what? We're better than that. But no, I'm just joking. But it just, like, we really have to, like, you know, Jimmy would be like, you know, this wheel turns and it turns a belt that turns this wheel, and this one's smaller, so it makes it go, you know, slower. And well, can you simplify it? And Jimmy's like, yeah, this fucking wheel's smaller, so when it turns, it makes the big one. Yeah, can you just simplify it? He's like, no. They're like, you have to. And it's like, I can't,
and
you know,
I understand.
And it's just, you get it, because there's a lot of people that don't know
what
the
fuck's going on. But I understand
that,
and I understand explaining things as though someone doesn't understand them, but I think there's a straight up, like, disconnect between that character and the premise of the show, regardless of his explanation.
Let me give you two funny things. The first episode, they had a script for us, and we were using the CNC. And in the dialogue, they write it C-A-N-D-C.
Yeah.
C-A-N-D-C. And then the fucking best was Graz caught this. I didn't see it. And this, if this ever made it to the tape, it would be the best. So one of the producers was like, clean up, straight up, like, preppy, metrosexual, like, just, you know, like, just had no idea what gender of a hammer to hold. And he's like, oh, I need paper. He walks over to Jimmy's fucking toolbox, and they labeled everything. And he opens up the drawer. He goes, oh, files. He opens it up. Now, it's only like 3 inches high, the drawer. It's all files. He opens it up. He grabs it. He goes, I am the biggest white collar asshole I've ever met in my life, and put it back.
That's Graz crazy.
Graz was dying laughing. Graz goes, I seen that. Oh, it was That's so funny. Oh, yeah. But he thought it was files, like hanging files.
Yeah. Like, I got to go file this. Yeah. File this under you know.
So funny.
Yeah. I mean, this show is, I only watched two episodes. I haven't watched the rest. I'm going to probably, I'm going to watch the whole thing, you know.
I got to watch an episode now.
Yeah, I'll make myself watch it, because I want to just, I want to see what it's about, you know.
Yeah.
So.
So, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, that's it.
I think we got a show.
So we'll see you guys next week. And thank you all for listening. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/handmadepodcast, patreon.com/Derek Romalden. We'll see you all Saturday at Paul's wedding reception for me at his shop.
Every week you say that, I get at least one person on to follow me on Patreon. So is that person going to be you? Thank you.
And we'll see everybody at the Catskill Mountain Maker Camp. I think we'll all be there. I'll be there. Derek will be there. Yeah. Paul probably won't come. But he might come. Spirit. Columbus Day weekend. I think it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Or it's the 7th, 8th, and 9th. I don't know. But it's up at the Blackthorn Resort in the Catskills in East Durham, New York. They still have passes available. The Blackthorn Hotel is sold out, but they have another hotel that they have that has rooms available called the Weldon House. You should definitely look into it. And that's it. So we'll see you there. Our friends from Lincoln will be there. There'll be a lot of great stuff, giveaways, and it's probably the most fun event. It's got to be the most fun event that you'll ever go to if you're going to go to these maker events, because the other ones are generally not very fun. So come to this one. See you there.
Yeah. Thank you.